The question for today is, what is reproval? Reproval comes from a word which is listed, as Jesus said in the Word of God in the King James Bible in John chapter 16. He's telling his disciples and giving them instruction when he's about to go to the cross and go back to heaven, of course. And he says in verse 7 of John 16, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient or necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." The Comforter, of course, is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And you don't have to be upset over the words being different, because in the Bible, the King James Bible, three times the same word is translated Holy Spirit, compared to about 90-something times Holy Ghost. And so it's all right to use either one of those words, because that is talking about the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 8 then, "And when he," the Holy Spirit, "is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." There's the word reprove, is where we get the word reproval. In other words, what is reproval? I know we've mentioned that from time to time in some of our messages and questions and answers on Ask the Pastor, as well as far as some other areas. And the question comes, just what is reproval? Well, we dealt with it, as we said, from time to time. But listen, as far as the thinking about the Holy Ghost conviction, that's a word that some people dislike, but it's a word that's necessary. The old-time saints used to deal with that, and old-time preachers used to speak about what real salvation was. It took Holy Ghost conviction to bring you to the place that you would experience real salvation. But as we begin to deal with some of these questions and break down these questions, we find there's two parts in Holy Ghost conviction. Holy Ghost conviction is the umbrella that includes the work of reproval and the work of godly sorrow. Another question we've dealt with, what is godly sorrow? But the work of reproval is the fact-producing part of Holy Ghost conviction. And you must have both godly sorrow and reproval to work in your life for the conviction to be complete and for you to have real salvation. Now, the emotional part is the godly sorrow, deep caused grief, and yet the fact-producing part is the work of reproval. But it's all Holy Ghost conviction. Now, you can have your emotions stirred and not understand some facts about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment, and all that will do will be that it will result in a false profession. You can have some understanding of facts and your emotions not be stirred by God, which will also produce a false profession. So there's some understanding of facts that a person needs. Therefore, we call this reproval. You need that, and your emotions must be stirred. That's godly sorrow, and you need both those for your salvation to be real. So today, I want to deal with the factual part of Holy Ghost conviction, and that's what is reproval. And so the word reprove, as far as in verse 8 of John chapter 16, is also translated four other ways. That means the Greek word is translated five different ways. And the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." And therefore, we need to look at these five English words that are translated from the same Greek word to find out what is reproval. What is reproval? Well, first of all, the word reprove, the English word that's from this Greek word, it means to lay blame on someone with the purpose or intention of correcting the problem. When the light of reproval is turned on in a person, we are put in a position to have the real condition of our heart exposed, and we have a tendency to blame everyone else for their problem. We want to pass the buck, so as to speak. We usually blame the preacher, who's just a light turner-owner. That's all he is. He just turns on the light, and God through him does that. He's the human instrument. But in reality, we're blaming God, who is the light, with a capital L. So we blame on others. We place blame on others to get the pressure off us, or to get the attention off us, or to get others in trouble. For instance, you take two brothers sometimes. They want to tell Mama and Daddy what their brother did, and all they're doing, they want to lay blame on him, but they're not doing it to get the problem solved. They're doing it to get him in trouble. That's not what the Lord does. When he lays blame on you with the word reprove, when he reproves you of sin, righteousness, and judgment, he's laying blame on you for the purpose of correcting the problem. And then the second way this word is reprove is translated, the Greek word is translated not only reprove, but it's translated rebuke in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. And then the Bible says, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. The word rebuke means to reprove sharply and sternly with authority. The Holy Ghost has the authority to lay blame on us. When He rebukes us, we have two choices. One choice is to seek more light. For instance, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached on that day, the Holy Ghost pricked the hearts of those present. In other words, He reproved them. He rebuked them, is what it amounts to. And they chose to seek more light. And said in Acts 2:37, that now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now the second choice one can make is to reject the light they have. When Stephen preached to the Jewish council in Acts chapter 7, the Holy Ghost used the message to rebuke them. Or in other words, and the Bible says they were cut to the heart. They were rebuked. Acts 7:54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on Him with their teeth. Instead of them seeking more light and being saved like those in Acts chapter 2, they rejected the light they had and tried to put out the light by stoning Stephen. The third way this word is translated is in Matthew 18:15, and it's translated telephone. And at Matthew 18:15 says, "Moreover, brethren, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault. Between thee and him alone, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." The word telephone in the English means to give evidence of. And that is done by a person's life and by their lip. Philippians 1:27 says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." In other words, it says there, let your life be such that it adds to the gospel or gives evidence of the gospel. The word conversation means more than just your speech. It means your walk. And therefore, you need to give evidence by your life and by your lip. Also, one can give evidence that a real work of grace has been done in his life by preaching and testifying. But if his life doesn't give evidence first, then it would be better for one to keep his lips sealed, for your action speaks louder than words. When your lip and life give evidence of what the Lord has done in your life, that reproves others. So we see the work of reproval. It means the word is translated reprove, rebuke, to tell a fault. It also is translated convince in Titus 1:9, where it says, "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath taught you, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." The word convince means to persuade by argument using the evidence at hand. The Holy Ghost argues with you because you argue with Him. That's why some people ask, why does the Holy Ghost argue with you? It's because you argue with Him. He speaks to your heart and says you don't have the fruit of your profession. You're not saved. And you argue back, using your empty profession as your justification. Holy Spirit says you're lost. You're not saved. And you argue back and say, I know I'm not. Then He gives evidence of what real fruit is by showing you someone else's whose life and lip give evidence that they possess something real. And if you don't reject what He shows you, it'll lead you to the place in your life to where you're convinced and where you'll say, I need what they have, or better yet, I need who they have. Now, the fifth way this word is translated in our English Bible is convict. John chapter 8, verse number 9. And it says this, and this is the woman that was caught in adultery. And when they, that's the Pharisees that brought her for Jesus to see what He would do with her. And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Convicted is the word there, which the word convict means the state of being proven guilty. It's what you call a person in prison, is it not? A convict, because he's been convicted, proved guilty. It also means a firm belief based upon the facts at hand. Now, so that these five words, as we look at them, they tell us what the work of reproval needs to be done and tells us it tells us what is reproval. So, an expanded definition of the work of reproval, or the word reprove, it means to lay blame on someone sharply and sternly with authority, using evidence at hand to persuade by argument that individual and bring him to a state of being proven guilty. And that's done with the purpose or intention of correcting the problem, bringing them to salvation. That's God's purpose in the work of reproval, the factual part of Holy Ghost conviction. But you realize something, this work of reproval must consist of all three things that was mentioned in John chapter 16, verse number 8. He'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. All three must be reproved. And so that, and by the way, the work of reproval must be completed in all three of those areas if a person is going to be saved. Now, many people are short-circuited by well-meaning preachers and so-called soul winners who do not allow the Holy Ghost of God to complete His work of reproval. Now, remember, connected and intertwined with reproval is godly sorrow, which, when it's completed, works repentance unto salvation. 2 Corinthians 7:10 brings that out. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And I ask you a question this day concerning this question. Has the Holy Ghost of God ever worked reproval and godly sorrow to completion in your life? In other words, have you ever had a completed work of Holy Ghost conviction? Some people say, I was convicted. Of what? It must be that you have the factual part and the emotional part, the work of reproval and the work of godly sorrow done in your heart, and it must be brought to condition in all three areas, in sin and righteousness and judgment. Listen, many people, all they've ever had in this work of reproval and godly sorrow, they've been bothered about the judgment. They think they're going to hell, and they have an emotion involved in it, and it's nothing but worldly sorrow. And they don't want to go to hell. God does not save you to keep you out of hell. You must be reproved of judgment, which is hell, which is the wrath of God. But God will not save you to keep you out of hell. You must come to the Lord Jesus for who He is and be convinced, reproved of righteousness, who is Jesus, and he that hath the Son hath life. So I ask, has the Holy Ghost worked that in your life? If He has, and you can say, I'm saved. But if it's not a complete work, get honest with yourself. Seek more light. I beg you not to reject these truths, because if you do, it'll cause you an awful announcement one day at the great white throne of judgment. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. And then Jesus said to those that thought they were justified by their own self-righteousness, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I beg you to have the work of reproval. Allow the Holy Spirit to complete that in your life. And I have more tapes and books on specifically on these subjects just for the asking. If you'll contact us, we'll be glad to send them to you. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer in Jesus' name.